Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Adam Schefter's report, Jay's been talking about it all morning, that, you know, this is not just some Browns reporter or some NFL reporter. This is Adam Schefter. So it's coming from him. Somebody may have reached out. We're not quite sure who. What are you making of all that's transpired over the last 24 hours or so with Condoleezza Rice and then the response from the Browns?
Yeah, you know, the Cleveland Browns had one job this weekend, and that was to lay low, stay out of the headlines, keep quiet, and they couldn't even do that. I think this is like the eighth year in a row that they take a loss on the bye weekend with a story that comes out. You're right. Adam Schefter certainly didn't pull that story out of thin air. I thought Lindsey Jones wrote a really good piece yesterday about how such a story really does a disservice for women who are trying to advance in the sport of football. Because I don't think Condoleezza Rice is qualified to be a head coach. I think she's qualified for a front office position. So that story didn't come out of thin air, but I have some theories as to maybe why that came out and how it came out.
You care to share some of those theories?
No, I think that there might be a little something behind it. You know, maybe John Dorsey's testing the circle of trust a little bit. You know, he said last week that he was going to keep things real tight and not have a lot of comment. And then, you know, 4 or 5 days later, he's having to issue a statement to praise Condoleezza for being a Browns fan. But then at the very end, slipping in, yeah, we haven't really talked about her contrary to that report. So
Daryl, you think he's trying to flush out a rat? Because that has happened before. There is precedent for that. That's happened in the NBA before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, no, it happens with the Cleveland Browns all the time. It does. I mean, that standard operating procedure in the Cleveland Browns manual there. I think that's entirely possible. My concern is the actual source of that, and if the source is who I think it potentially could be, could lead to problems down the road, because there are certain people in the building that you have to be able to trust, and if those people are talking to national reporters while you're trying to conduct this search, then that, I think, creates some problems behind the scenes.
Okay, well, Daryl, I'm just going to say, and I don't have any information, as we've been saying all morning, and kids been letting me know every time I open my mouth, pretty much, reckless speculation. But let's hypothetically say that guy is Jimmy Haslam, the owner, that's, you know, letting this stuff out. After a week of saying, hey, it's John Dorsey's search and I'm going to kind of get out of the way, let him do his job. I mean, what kind of message is this sending, not just to John Dorsey, but the fan base as well, who I think were, for the most part, pretty excited to hear that news?
Yeah, if that is the genesis of this, that again, wouldn't be good, because he owns the team. Now you could make the argument he owns the team, he writes the checks, he can do whatever he wants. And him doing whatever he wants has kind of been problematic since 2012 when they took over. They don't hire the right people, they fire people right away, they're the worst team in NFL history over the span since they've owned the team. So there's all kinds of things that play into this. But I didn't like the story yesterday. I didn't think it was fair to Condoleezza Rice. I certainly didn't think it was fair to the coaching search. I didn't think it was fair to John Dorsey, who's trying to conduct the coaching search. It's just another example of adults not being adults running that football team.
Daryl, I'm curious to see how these guys respond. I'm moving off of that nonsense and moving on to football. I'm curious to see how these guys respond to an entire week off, because I go back to what was a victory Monday after the Ravens, right? They had the day off, and everyone said, well, there you go. You give them an inch and look how they, you know, they can't handle right. any sort of success. I'm curious. I don't know. I'm just fascinated to see. They've had an entire week off now. They're back in town, what, last night? Probably everyone got back to town. How they look this week in practice, how they come out and play Sunday after a really long layoff, which, you know, they earned. They played great against the Chiefs. It's the bye week. They need time to go home and heal. But I'm just fascinated. I'm wondering your thoughts. I'm just fascinated to see their week of preparation and see how they come out and play after so much time off.
Yeah, you know, and this will be – you mentioned the victory Monday after Baltimore. We know what happened against the Chargers. You know, I think this is a little different scenario. They had victory Monday after the Falcons game as well, and Greg Williams blew off the Tuesday practice and just gave them the entire week off. I think that focus will not be a problem this week, Jason, just because Hugh Jackson's on that coaching staff in Cincinnati. Yep. I think that Greg Williams is the master motivator, and I think that in and of itself is going to be enough to have these guys ready to play this week. So I have absolutely no problem with Greg giving these guys the week off to go on vacation, enjoy their lives a little bit, get away from football. It's been a very difficult first 10 games of the season. They played 4 overtimes. The head coach and offensive coordinator have been fired. They've changed quarterbacks. They traded the starting running back. They traded the number one wide receiver on the team. There's been a lot of stuff that has happened in this season already. So I don't have any problem with Greg doing what he did as far as the time off goes. Like you, I am curious to see if they're able to go down to Cincinnati and do something they haven't done since 2014, and that's put back-to-back victories together. It would also mark the third consecutive Sunday that the Browns did not lose a football game, also a first since 2014. So, yeah, it's been a rough ride the last couple of years, but I think the Hugh Jackson factor, him being down there, I really expect behind the scenes Greg Williams to keep reminding his players that Hugh hurried up and ran and took a job with a division rival in season just weeks after being dismissed.
If the Browns win, can we call Hugh 337-1?
Yeah, well, I'm 3.
I knew that was a good
so
question.
So it's 338-1.
We lost you there for a minute.
Oh, I said you can already say he's 337-1 because he lost yesterday. Next week it'll be 338-1 if the Browns are able to win.
He picked up
in Cincinnati where he left off in Cleveland.
Talking to Daryl Ryder, a Browns beat reporter for 92.3 The Fan. All right, Daryl, looking at this Bengals team, you mentioned the loss yesterday. I mean, this is strange, strange squad. I mean, beginning of the year, they get off to a good start. The defense obviously was still struggling, but the offense was going, and now the defense is still in shambles. Although, you look at yesterday's game, it's not like they had many shots downfield. Baltimore, I'm talking about. So you'd think Cincinnati's got, you know, quite a few guys there close to the line of scrimmage. Baltimore, with Lamar Jackson, mind you, able to run the ball all over them.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the flip side, Andy Dalton with no A.J. Green. I mean, they're a mess right now, right?
Yeah, well, you know, they're starting to validate my thought that maybe the Cleveland Browns will not finish in last place this season if this thing continues to go south for them. And maybe Marvin Lewis actually finally, after nearly 2 decades of whatever it's been in Cincinnati, mediocrity, we'll get the axe.
Hugh Jackson, next
Baltimore
head coach
just
in Cincinnati.
I know, that's my thought. Hey, you know what, Jason, to your what you just said there, I know there's a little sarcasm in there,
but there
might be some truth to that.
Yeah, it's 20% sarcasm.
Yeah, well, the day he was hired by the Cleveland Browns, I had someone in the league that I trust implicitly told me that he would be the next head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. Don't get hooked on the Hugh Jackson train in Cleveland because they could see him bolting the Browns, to take that Bengals job and replace Marvin. And while they don't have to worry about him bolting because he already got thrown out the door, but that is a very strange football team.
Would you call that falling up the ladder or just continually landing on your feet? I'm not sure which that
continuing,
is.
I'd say continuing landing on his feet. He did, after he was fired in Oakland, he had to work his way back up the coaching ladder. Marvin Lewis was the person that allowed him to do that in Cincinnati to position himself to get the Browns job. He's basically a coordinator again, albeit on defense for Marvin now, just without the title. But, yeah, I mean, it's good to have friends in the National Football League, that's for sure.
Can I just ask, maybe this is a stupid question, if he's such an offensive genius, how is he running the defense, or why is he involved with the defense? I'm just curious.
Well, yeah, you know, that I thought the same thing, but, you know, to be a good offensive coordinator, you have to have an understanding of defense, and vice versa if you're a defensive coordinator with the offense. So, you know, I think he's the defensive coordinator without the title because Marvin's the one that's calling the plays, but he's, according to what Marvin has said in the last week, Hugh is the one that's really helping him out with that side of the ball because they already have an offensive coordinator down there in Cincinnati. So that, I think that that's where that's applicable, Jason, is the fact that if you have such a deep understanding of offenses, that really helps you on the opposite side of things when you're watching the film and you're trying to, you know, find weaknesses in your opponents in that. So I think that that's where Hugh becomes an asset in that regard.
So, Darryl, we have the Browns looking for a head coach. The Bengals may very likely be looking for a head coach. For a while there, maybe even as recently as last week, it was, you know, John Harbaugh and the Ravens. At times kind of come to that that point where they're going to split. Does right. a win like this and Lamar Jackson, does that change? Or are we looking at three of the four teams in the division looking for coaches at the end of the year?
I think it's possible three of the four teams will be looking for coaches. I mean, you know, listen, the Bengals and Ravens are both 5-5. They're, I think, what, 2.5 games behind the Steelers, who are 7-2-1, if my math is correct. And, you know, when you're talking, when you look at the schedule there, Chico, what, 6-7 weeks remain in the season, that's a lot of ground that you have to make up down the stretch. I don't think anyone's going to catch Pittsburgh. They're going to win the division. What you're fighting for is a wild card spot. And that means that both the Bengals and Ravens, if they want that wild card spot, they need to start stacking wins, and they need to start stacking wins like 3 weeks ago because the AFC is that competitive. So, you know, the standard in ball, I think this will be the fourth year in a row if the Ravens don't make it that they will miss the playoffs, and that's just a no-no in Baltimore. Their standard is it goes 7-9.
Darryl, you're there.
15 here in Cleveland. Yeah, I'm here.
We got you.
If they go 7-9 in Baltimore, that's the equivalent of 1-15, 3-13 season here in Cleveland, Ohio. It's just it's completely unacceptable. Their standard of football in Baltimore is like it is in Pittsburgh. Okay, they expect to be in the playoffs every year. They expect to be contending for a potential Super Bowl berth every year. Is it realistic? No, not in the, you know, the landscape of the NFL where it's designed for teams to go to worst to first and all those type of things. But that's the standard with which that organization operates with. So if John Harbaugh is not able to stack a bunch of wins here down the stretch, I still believe that he will be out in Baltimore because not making the playoffs for 4 years straight is a very, very bad thing in that organization.
Darryl, good stuff as always. Be checking in with you all week long as we get ready for the Bengals down in Cincinnati. Good stuff. We'll talk to you soon, pal.
You got it, guys.
All right, Darryl Ryder on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Which job, I know we ask this all the time, but Browns, hypothetically, if all three of those are open, which one's the most enticing? I mean, you do have the Ravens with – you could have Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Is that
– Yeah, I was going to say, I think it depends – it's going to be – each candidate depends how they view Lamar Jackson versus Baker Mayfield.
Right.
Because, you know, the Ravens, I think, have a great defense. Browns have a young defense that's getting better and better and better every week. I made the mistake a few weeks ago of telling Adam I thought they were an elite defense, and that was a stupid thing to say. But they're showing strides of getting there. But I think they're right on par with each other. You know, I think I've said all along, I thought the Browns would be one of the most attractive openings this offseason, unless, you know, wait and see what happens in Green Bay with McCarthy. That one becomes number one to me if McCarthy's let go just because of Aaron Rodgers and his prime. But the Browns and Ravens, I think, are right 1 and 1A.
We'll hear from the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, coming up later this morning at 9. In the meantime, we got a 2020 update coming from Jeff Thomas. And want to hear from you as well, 216-578-0092. Chico and Jason Lloyd in for Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima right here on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.